The old account was large and growing every day, for I was always sinning and never tried to pay. But when I looked ahead and saw such pain and woe, I said that I would settle. I settled long ago, long ago, long ago. Yes, the old account was settled long ago, and for he washed my sins away, and the old account was settled long ago. Let's sing the last. Oh, sinner, seek the Lord, repent of all your sin, for thus he hath commanded, if you would enter in. And then if you should live 100 years below, up there you'll not regret it, you settled long ago, long ago, long ago. Yes, the old account was settled long ago, and the record's clear today, for he washed my sins away, and the old account was settled long ago.
Amen. Well, it's good to see you this evening. Trust you had a quiet, restful afternoon. Amen. It's good to be back in the Lord's house tonight. And kind of a quiet day, a holiday weekend, and a day off tomorrow. And so we can, guess we can just stay all night. Is that it? Well, maybe. Well, it's good to be here tonight. Good to see y'all. And we're going to take a couple minutes and welcome each other. Let's do that. Make sure you get around to our visitors as well.
All right, if you would, grab a hymn book again and turn to 488. 488. Let's sing the first and the last. I was once a sinner, but I came pardon to receive from my Lord. This was freely given, and I found that he always kept his word. There's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine, oh yes, it's mine. And the white-robed angels sing the story, a sinner has come home. For there's a new name written down in glory, and he's mine, oh yes, he's mine. With my sins forgiven, I am bound for heaven, never more to roam. In the book 'tis written, saved by grace, oh, the joy that came to my soul. Now I am forgiven, and I know by the blood I am made whole. There's a new name written down in glory, and he's mine, oh yes, he's mine. And the white-robed angels sing the story, a sinner has come home. For there's a new name written down in glory, and he's mine, oh yes, he's mine. With my sins forgiven, I am bound for heaven, never more to roam. All right, 275. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul, it is well with my soul, it is well, it is well with my soul. On the last. And Lord, haste the day when my faith shall be sight. The clouds be rolled back as a scroll. The trump shall resound and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul, it is well with my soul, it is well, it is well with my soul.
Amen. You can be seated.
Well, gentlemen, if you'll take your places and get ready to receive this evening's offering, we'll go over a few announcements.
Tell them we'll receive the special offering separate.
Okie dokie. We're going to receive a special offering separate here in just a little bit for the shepherds to help them a little bit along the way as we go. They get we're just going to receive a special offering here in a little bit. We'll do this after. This will be our general taking up time, and we'll receive the special one here in a little bit. So we'll go over a few announcements. The church offices will be closed tomorrow. Next Sunday evening will be the Texas Theological University graduation. We have a few that's going to be receiving degrees and such things where they graduate for. Okay. Youth camp is next week. We're not this coming Monday, but the next Monday. We're going to be going down the road. Be praying for that, okay? Who received their trading cards last year? We called them trading cards and prayer cards. Who remembers those? Okay, well, we'll be getting them out ready to be passed out this next week. And we took pretty pictures of them this week, and we got some more to get pictures of. So if you got some, want to see your, Drew has a great one that we're going to take of him. Anyway, we got some more to take. Carter, we got to get one of you. So you weren't here this morning. Anyway, we're going to be passing out the prayer cards for those things for this next week. Ladies' brunch has been moved to June 12th. Welcome all day. Welcome all Sunday. It's going to be the 11th. It's going to be a four-day preaching. Invite somebody to come with you, okay? Amen. Look around and see who hasn't been here in a while, possibly. And call them. You know, we got this thing. It's called a church directory. Go through there and see somebody who hadn't been in a while and say, hey, I haven't seen you in a while here. Once you come back, we're having a special day. Find your neighbor, an opportunity to bring your next door neighbor, friends, family. Go to the gas station. The gas station is a wonderful place to talk to people. They can't go anywhere till they're through pumping their gas. You can talk to them about all sorts of stuff. And they're like you know, especially if you get a real slow pump. They're like, oh, can you hurry up, you know? And there's a captive audience right there. That particular day, the church will be providing the fried chicken. We'll ask everybody else to bring two sides and a dessert. And, of course, right here it says members on your insert. It says members bring two. I'm going to suggest that members bring two friends, two people. So add that along to that. And, it is that time of year where we just kind of need help, okay? We need a little help, you know, just around the place in general sometimes. Like I said this morning, we had a light bulb that went out in one of the restrooms. It happens. And it could just use a little relief sometime. We need some nursery help. See Miss Teresa on that. We need some greeters. We need some guys who will say, yes, I'll be there when I'm supposed to be there, with a smile on our face, and welcome the folks when they come in. And, of course, we could always use some help up here in the choir. I just heard y'all sing. You sing good, you know. So look around today. See who's not here today. Of course, I realize this is a holiday weekend. And maybe send somebody a text or something like that. You want to have some fun with Miss Marcia? You know, she's hardly ever not here. Everybody go get a postcard and send a postcard to Miss Marcia. Flood her mailbox saying we missed you. You know, that could be some fun to have with her. So anyway, Brother Martin, come a long ways down from Nebraska. Why don't you come up and pray for us?
Amen. Thank you, brother.
Yeah, I heard y'all were having fried chicken. I might be coming back. All right, let's pray. Dear God, I do thank you again, Lord, for loving us and for dying for us up on the cross. God, giving us eternal life and a salvation that we know for sure that we're going to heaven. Pray, Lord, that if there's one here tonight that's not saved, that you'd convict them and show them their need of a Savior, that they get saved before it's eternally too late. Pray for the offering, Lord, that you take it, that you'd use it for your honor and for your glory. And we think about all the people that are traveling. Pray, Lord, traveling mercies up on those that are traveling, for those that are sick. And I pray, Lord, that you'd heal them. Your will would be done there. Be with the message tonight. Pray, Lord God, that you would be with Brother Turner, Lord, as he brings it. And just give him the words to say. Hide him behind the cross. Father, convict us. Change us. Challenge us out of your word tonight, Father, that we'd leave and have a closer walk with you.
Amen.
Just move in our midst, Lord. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. As they're going to get ready to receive our second offering this evening, our special offering. Before we do that, I did want to mention that Brother Darren Martin and his family will be traveling back to Nebraska tomorrow. Is that correct? So please be in prayer for them as they drive. The Bruce Martin family, Bruce and Provy, are in Duncan, Oklahoma this evening, reporting to a church there. So please They'll be driving kind of late tonight, so pray for them as well, if you would. And of course, as we've been praying for Sister Mary since Wednesday, Mary Carl, please, you know, my prayer is, of course, prayer of my heart is that God's going to raise her up from that sick bed. And so please, we pray in submission to the Lord's will. And so please, please pray for Mary and, of course, all the family in this time as they wait before the Lord for his will to be accomplished. And the Brookshire family, as well as we mentioned this morning, pray for them. And along the way, over the last many months, we've been praying for Patricia Shepherd and her travel, her journey in the battle with cancer. And she has the victory this evening. So I believe it was Thursday evening. She joined the Lord in glory. And so we rejoice with that. And we're sure thankful for the shepherds and Harry and the family and their service to the Lord there in Idaho. Well, I tell you, if you get opportunity to go up that way, I mean, the panhandle of Idaho is, it's not really on the way to anywhere unless you're going to Canada. But oh my, what a beautiful place it is. And you'd surely enjoy it, and I know they'd enjoy you coming by. And so we appreciate this dear family. And they've had a lot of expenses, a lot of traveling back and forth. Harry will be traveling back, I believe. Are you flying back Wednesday, brother, to Idaho? And then the Jennifer and the children are going to be meeting Jennifer. Is it your mother, sister? Meeting her mother in Amarillo or something. I don't know how they're going to make that connection. And they're going to be driving back. And Harrison says, yeah, Dad gets to fly. But he won't see all the wonderful things you get to see along the way, Harrison. And so please pray for this dear family. Pray for Tuesday. Brother Harry is going to have the funeral message for his mother's funeral on Tuesday, excuse me, at 10 a.m. at Heritage Baptist Church in Hazlitt. And so please be in prayer for the Lord's mercy and all that the Lord would use him. And again, we appreciate our church family and your generosity. And so as we take this offering this evening, we're taking it as out of certainly a gift of our love towards them. Father, we bow before you tonight, and we're asking for your grace. We're asking for your mercy. Please minister to the Shepherd family. We thank you for the life and testimony of Pat Shepherd. Thank you, Father, for her steadfast love for you. Thank you for the grace that you gave her through this last journey on this earth planet. But we rejoice, Father, that she is enjoying the portals of glory, enjoying the heavenly city with her Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So please, Lord, minister to the family, fill that hole that is left with your great spirit and your spirit of comfort. Again, we love you so much, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for your amazing, tremendous love for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother Andrew. What a message from that song. How can it be that God that God would die for me. You know, I was looking at this. This flyer was in the bulletin today, and when Miss Teresa brought it back for me to look at, and I looked in the backside with the information, I thought, man, what? How could it be a better deal than that? And the ticket's free. I mean, it's great. So I believe, where's Teresa at there? She's in the nursery. I believe she printed some extra of these. They might be back there on the welcome table. But use yours. Give it to a neighbor. That's why it's called Welcome All Sunday. I used to go to Welcome All Baptist Church in Hogansville, Georgia. And you talk about a friendly bunch of folks. But testimonies of folks about Metropolitan Baptist, they always tell me how friendly you all are. Well, let's be friendly, invite folks, and have a great day. That's June 11th, and then, of course, on through the week with Brother Mark Thrift will be preaching with us. I know you'll enjoy this dear brother's preaching. Well, along the way, we've been talking a lot about praise on Sunday evenings, and it's been kind of broken up. We have other things going on and missionaries coming by and different things. And next Sunday night, we even have graduation. Boy, I plead with you, please be back for the graduation service next Sunday evening. I'm looking forward to that, and just trust the Lord's going to bless in that as well. So it's this series of messages hasn't been in a direct sequence. Is this thing acting goofy? I'm on mute. Well, I know people like to have muted me a long time ago, but not electronically. Let's see if we can do something about that. Sure enough. Whoa, there we are. I don't want to hear myself that good. Again, we're not really been looking at this in a true sequence. Is that where we left off, Miss Doris? A true sequence of messages, but that's all right. As an old North Carolina preacher used to tell me, I asked him one time, his name was Frank McGuire. I can still remember him. He was a big mountain of a man from the mountains of North Carolina. And he was one of those preachers that he could be bellowing in such a way the back wall would be pushing out. And then next minute he might be talking to you real soft. But he'd preach messages in a series if he was preaching some meetings at your church. And I said, just where do you know where to start up and stop? And he says, Brother Jim, my preaching's like a log of bologna. You can cut it off anywhere you want. So, well, I don't know just what he meant about that baloney, but I don't want to give you any baloney this evening. I want to give you the pure word of God. Well, we're going to, as we look at this, in our recent times together, we've looked at the message of praise. We've looked at the people of praise. We look at the time of praise. This evening, I'd like to spend a little time looking at the place to praise God. Where is the proper place to praise God? Where is it appropriate to give God praise? And along with that, is there an inappropriate place to praise God? Well, if we look at this, we'll start with our right place to praise the Lord, and we'll get to the other as we close the night. Number one place that's right to praise the Lord is in the congregation, in the assembly. In Psalm 22, I don't know, we do have we have one projector going this evening. That's better, right? Actually, we have two, but don't turn around and look at the back one. But, in Psalm 22, verse 22, listen to these words. David writes, he says, I will declare thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the congregation. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Now in that verse, the word congregation means simply that, speaking of the assembly of God's people. the assembly of God's people. In the 25th verse of Psalm 22, it says this, "My praise shall be of thee and the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear him." My praise will be in the great congregation. In Psalm 107, well, the Psalms are just full of praise. Just full of the subject of giving God praise. Psalm 107, verses 31, 32, it says this, "Let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people and praise him in the assembly of the elders." The elders, I should say. When God's people are together, it should be a spirit, an atmosphere of praise. We should give our God praise. We're here this evening, not hopefully because you didn't have anything better to do, but because we're here to praise him. We're here to give our great God praise. Our hearts, as we are a people of praise, and our lives are our lives of praise. And then when we gather together as the people of praise, it should be the natural outflow that we would give God praise together. Unified praise of our God. Now, I know there are lots of things. There's lots of things, even when you're looking for a church. Now, y'all here are here because you just love Metropolitan Baptist Church, and this is your church, or you're visiting here with others that this church is your church. But if you were in a situation where you were looking for a church, there's a lot of things on that list that you might think about, which you would like to find in a church. Obviously, if you're looking for a church, it should be a church that focuses on the Word of God. We call ourselves Bible believers. But again, I'm not haranguing the night, and I'm not even throwing stones at anybody. But there's more and more along the way a minimizing of the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. And the result is that we have a biblically ignorant, can I say, Christianity of our day. People are just do not know their Bibles. And if we're not here to learn something from God's Word, wow, what's the point? One of the first things we should look for in a church is that it's a Bible preaching and teaching church. It should be a church that's marked by prayer. Prayer. They're a praying people. That when you call in with a request on your heart, that you've got a peace, you've got a confidence, those folks are going to pray for me in my time of need. You need to find a church that's a praying church. But somewhere on that list, near the top, should be that you find a church that has a heart to give God praise, to lift his name in praise. Oh man, we've got such a mishmash of an understanding of what that is in our day. If you don't have some kind of a band on the stage, well, there ain't no praise going on. And I remember I was in a preacher's meeting, about 10 or 12 years ago, maybe longer than that, in a preacher's meeting of all things, and the meeting was going great, a room full of preachers, and they were singing some tremendous, tremendous songs like we did this evening, and then the song leader, he stopped at the end of one of the songs, he says, "And now we're going to praise the Lord." I said, "I thought that's what we've been doing. I thought that's what we had been doing." I mean, this morning, that song, "Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing." Huh? Song written in 1758. We're still singing it. It's still got a tremendous message for our hearts today. And I challenge you, beloved, that when you sing the songs of Zion, put your heart into them. Huh? Sing from your heart. And hey, by the way, Satan hates it. Satan hates it. You know why? Because God promises that he'll inhabit the praises of the saints. Amen. And so where God's getting praise, Satan don't like to hang around. You know, one of my preacher friends years ago, he says, "Hey, it's the song service is very, very important because it helps clear the atmosphere." And indeed, as we lift our voices in praise and worship, hey, biblical praise and worship to the God of gods, the King of kings, Satan, he clears out. He don't want anything to do with that. You know, it's amazing. It's easier, maybe this is just me, okay? It's easier for me to preach on Sunday evenings. Huh? You say, why is that, preacher? Well, I don't know exactly, but it seems like if you preach the devil out of folks on Sunday morning, it's a little easier on Sunday night. I'm just making a conjecture there. Praise. We can praise God. It's right to praise God in the congregation. And then even expanding on that very similar, it's right to praise God amongst the brethren. Fellow believers, we read that in Psalm 22, verse 22. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. It's the easiest place. And we say this often. The easiest place to worship and to live for Jesus is right here. Right here in the midst of God's people, where we can be with brothers and sisters in Christ. The tough job comes tomorrow morning out on the job. And we'll get to that in a minute. But that's where the battle, that's where the real war is, out as we get amongst the lost and the world and in the if you can't praise God here, you'll never praise Him anywhere else. Not even a holy grunt from anybody? Oh, sorry about that. Praise Him amongst the brethren. Certainly, is in our fellowship, one with another, we ought to be able to praise the Lord. You know, I like to talk about a lot of stuff. Usually I get here on Sunday evening, there's at least one or two of us, we're reviewing how the Rangers played. And whether they continue to lose or they win one once in a while. And, you know, I don't mind talking about that. I don't mind talking to talk about hunting or I even had a little conversation about guns before church this evening. And, all those things are fine. That's okay. But I just love to talk about Jesus. Love to talk about Him. And when we're together as brethren, the name of Jesus should be on our lips often, as we would give praise to our Savior. But also, as it says here, amongst the elders in our verse. Well, I'll be honest with you. I mentioned a little bit about being at a preacher's meeting. Brother Darren, I don't fit in a lot of these preachers' fellowships. I'm sorry about that. I just don't fit in. I just feel like I'm always a square peg in trying to squeeze down into a round hole. And that's okay. But, you know, I suppose I should want to get out around different preachers' fellowships more. But you know what? My ministry is right here. My ministry is at Metropolitan Baptist Church. My ministry is amongst my brothers and sisters in this fellowship. And not that I dislike other preachers. I mean, hopefully they don't dislike me. But my ministry is right here. My ministry is here with my folks. And, you know, there's just something about being amongst the brethren. Now, again, along the way, it's great. It's great to sit down with other preachers and be able to discuss the things of God and the Word of God. I enjoy doing that very thing amongst the other ordained preachers in this church. Thank God for each and every one of them. Brother Hudson, Brother Tom, Brother Bruce, and Penny, it's a blessing to me be able to sit down and talk about the things of God. The guys I like to fellowship with the most are the ones that just enjoy talking about the Lord. The meetings I like to go to is where the focus isn't on church politics, but on the Word of God and the God of the Word. And they just preach Jesus and let Him have His way. We need to praise in the congregation. We need to praise God amongst our brethren. We also need to pray. Now listen to this. We need to praise God before our children. Before our children. What do you mean, preacher? We need to praise God in such a way our children hear us. Praise God. Praise the Lord before our children. Listen to this. Psalms again. In Psalm 78, verse 4. Listen to this. He says, "We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done." Another verse from the Psalm, Psalm 145, verses 4 and 5. Listen to this. "One generation shall praise thy works to another." That means my generation should be praising our God to the next generation and to the next generation. "One generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty works." David declares, "I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works." Has God done anything in your life? If God has done something in you and for you and through you, you've got something to share to the generation to come. It's my desire. David speaks in another place of he speaks of the white head, that hoary head, and being able to pass on to the generation to come the truths and the things of God. Why? My Lord, help us. Beloved, it's important that our children see and hear their parents praise God. Our children should witness us praising Him with our lips, but also with our lives. What? Rehearsing God's wondrous works, as both these passages mention. Wow. What would be the testimony of our children? I'm going to put you on the spot, Mom and Dad. What would be the testimony of our children this evening? If we were asked, "Do you hear Mom and Dad praising the Lord at the house?" No, unfortunately, in many homes, the afternoon meal is roast pastor, or the leadership of the church and what it's not doing right, and this is what's wrong with our church, and on it goes. What spirit do children in a home like that grow up with? Do they have a respect for the things of God? Do they have a respect? Hey, someone was saying to me the other day, a couple generations ago, preacher, there was a different respect for the man of God. And indeed, they're right. Indeed, they're right. Not that I'm worried about that, but I mean, there used to be indeed a different honor, a different respect to a man of God given. What happened? I believe it's we as parents have failed to instill that respect in our children. In our children for the things of God. And indeed, if they hear you praising God instead of complaining about the people of God, it's going to be a big difference, is it not? A big difference. Well, fourthly, and here we get to very important. We need to praise the Lord before the lost. Mentioned earlier, this is the easiest place to praise the Lord. This is the easiest place to be able to magnify and lift up His name. It's the easiest place to be able to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. It gets a lot tougher when we get out in the world, on the job or at the schoolhouse, and there's those that denounce Christ and have no use for the things of God, no respect for the Word of God. It's a whole lot different ballgame when you hear people using the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in some slur or vain. But the world needs to hear us praise God. The lost need to hear us praising Him. In 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 50, it says this, It says, therefore, I will give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen. What's that mean? Among the lost. Huh? Amongst the lost. I will, O Lord, among the heathen, I will sing praises unto thy name. I remember, you know, I joke about my years at Generous Motors when I worked for a living. And I just went to work and enjoyed my job and did my thing, and I'd be working, and I don't know what it was. I like to whistle. And so I'd be working away, and somebody come by and say, what are you whistling about? You know, like it was a crime. I mean, I'm sorry, I wasn't supposed to be happy. You know, and I said, well, I don't know. The Lord's good. He's still on the throne. And what gives you opportunity? Huh? You come into work in the morning, and I know my daughter gave me a new sign, and we found the appropriate place for it. It says, coffee first. And it's right there by the coffee pot. When I find my way down the steps and I'm, you know, making my way by Braille over to where the kitchen sink and stuff is, and I get that. But you know, you listen to Marcia, she'll tell you, she's not a morning person. And so when I get up and I start moving around, I say, good morning, darling. It's quiet. And so what I do, I go downstairs and get the coffee going and get that all set. And along the way, things start picking up. But you get to the job, people come dragging in, you know, sort of like you did yesterday, Adam. I said, what's the matter, Adam? Oh, I was up late. You know, where's the first stop? Coffee pot. And he agreed. People look at you and say, what do you got that smile on your face? Well, you can tell them why you got a smile on your face. Why shouldn't I be smiling? Why shouldn't you be smiling? You get to lift your head up off of the pillow in the morning, and the first thought, if not the first words, would be, praise God. I've got another day to live for Him. Huh? And then it should be picking up from there. Instead, we drag ourselves along. Oh, whoa, whoa. Lord, help us. We belong to the King of Kings. We belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, we could go on and on the rest of the night about our blessings in Him that we can rejoice in. And hey, we ought to be able to share it with this fallen world. You know the old story that you go in and you're just as grumpy and down as the rest of the world. You get on the job someone says, hey, I hear you go to church.
Yeah, I go to church. What of it?
I mean, I work with, you know, you get in a department where I used to work at Generous Motors, and you can tell the folks that are walking with the Lord. You won't talk to them. You won't have an interaction with them. But I'll start having questions. And that guy there, that lady, you know, you can tell just by their countenance and by their demeanor. And then when you start getting a little bit around them, by their language, how they talk, and then you finally get to the place where, hey, and you ask them about the Lord, and sure enough, you find out they're a Christian. Has anybody ever come to that conclusion about you? You hope so, don't you? By observing you. In this old world, you better believe it's watching. Because it needs to see Christians. And it needs to see some folks that have a love for the Lord Jesus Christ. It needs to see some folks that have the praise of the Lord in their hearts. Hey, not just on Sunday morning from 11 to noon. But a Monday morning praise. Can you imagine having a Monday morning praise for God? That's what we need. Praise the Lord before the lost. But then, in this day, in any day, really, we need to be able to praise God even in the face of idolatry. We're living in an idolatrous age. So much is worshipped other than God. Not necessarily gods of stone or brazen images, but so much is worshipped other than our God today. Listen to this passage from Psalm 138, the first few verses there. Psalm 138, verses 1 to 3. There the psalmist picks up his pen once again, and he writes, "I will praise thee with my whole heart." Hallelujah. "I will praise thee with my whole heart before the gods," little g, "will I sing praise unto thee." Huh? You know, I've talked to so many, to some ex-Muslims over the years, and even asking Asim, "Did you ever have any hope of eternity as a Muslim?" No. No. No promise of eternal life. In Islam, in any work salvation. How many folks have you talked to? They're churchgoers. And you ask them if they're saved. You ask them if they're going to heaven. And what do they say? "I hope so." No confidence of their position with Christ. No false religion has that, because it's all based on what? Performance. Works. Here, David speaks in Psalm 138, "I will praise thee with my whole heart before the gods. I will sing praise unto thee. I will worship toward thy holy temple. Praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above thy name." That's always been an amazing statement to me in the scriptures. "Thou hast magnified thy word above thy name." Well, why is that? Well, in that sense, beloved, that it's the Word of God that declares the name of God. And indeed magnifies the name of God. "In the day when I cried, thou answerest me, and strengtheneth me with strength in my soul." Where did it begin? It began with singing praise with his whole heart, even before the gods of this world. Before the gods, the world around us, as we said a moment ago, this world around us is worshiping all kinds of things. Oh my, all kinds of things. Most anything but the true God. Trying to find hope, trying to find some answers for their life in anywhere, but oh my, any place but God. It seems one of the biggest idols of our day, and stick with me with this, but it seems like one of the biggest idols of our day is human ability, the achievements of humanity. Think about that. What's it really boiled down to? Man worshiping man. Man worshiping ourselves. Man. And mankind loves to exalt his accomplishments, does he not? To exalt his accomplishment. Humanity, indeed, has made amazing accomplishments. It's amazing the things that man has done. It's astounding in these days that to see what in the field of medicine, the things that can be done now. How many in this room tonight, you don't have to raise your hand, but how many in this room this evening may well be bedridden if it hadn't been for a hip replacement or a knee replacement or something? In the old days, that word bedridden was pretty common, wasn't it, in the old days? I was at a funeral on Monday, did a funeral up in Bowie, and as I got there, Of course, we pastored there in Bowie for 10 years, and or 5 years, and And as I was busy with the funeral director a little bit, and the pianist came in and knew her very well, and another young lady that was singing, and they came over and were talking to Marcia, and they were there at the side, and they said something about, people shouldn't lie. We should be people of the truth, right? And they said, she said, oh, you two haven't changed a bit. And I just looked at her like that, and she said, they must sell that Clairol for men in Fort Worth. And I thought, oh, man, your eyes are, what's the matter with you? But, you know, age, in the olden days, am I allowed to say that? Huh? It used to be, again, young men dream dreams, old men tell stories. So I has arrived, Brother Foy. We tell stories. Men love to exalt their abilities, their achievements, what they've done, what they've accomplished. And as we mentioned, there was a day when people laid up with ailments and issues, those hips and knees that just couldn't go anymore. But today they're out and about and going, and it's wonderful. And then there's technology on top of that. I mean, it just amazes me. I don't know how many times one of these otter boxes has saved me from this telephone. Well, I have dropped my phone probably in the last year, I couldn't probably 30, 40 times. Bounces off that concrete or off the tile floor, and I just, oh, it's in that otter box. I dropped my phone the other night on the tile floor at home. Didn't even think about it. Picked it up, stuck up my pocket. I looked at it a little later, and the screen's going one of these numbers. And I said, well, I finally did it. And so I went down in the drawer and pulled out this old phone and charged it up and changed the SIM card. And I think, man, just in the distance of a couple iPhones, the technology that changed. And I've been ready to throw this thing over the hill. And man, they could, you think of what this thing can do. But my other one was better, is the protest. Every day the technology gets better and better. And even when you think of the medical achievements, and then you couple that with the technology achievements, and they were talking about Miss Beth's surgery here, which surgery was it? I don't remember. But the surgeon was in there explaining, or the anesthesiologist, and with every heartbeat, the blood pressure was measured. Every heartbeat, the blood pressure was measured. Isn't that amazing? That they could keep track of that heartbeat. I mean, that blood pressure so close. Every heartbeat. Wow. Men's achievements, they are great. They're amazing. But the world fails to be able to back up and understand that it's God. It's God that's given us the ability. It's God, that's given the intelligence, the understanding to develop those things. Not able to understand that it's God that permits and allows us to have that ongoing growth and progress. Hey, we need to praise the Lord for His goodness to us. I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful for those that have been helped because of the achievements of man. But I don't want to fail to give my God the glory that He deserves for those achievements indeed. Oh my, men want to worship at the altars of all kinds of idols in our day. And we see this even in this passage. Men worship at the altar of self and works. They worship man. Men seem to worship in our day at the altar of vulgarity and immorality. Isn't it a sad day when you stand for biblical morality and you're the one that's immoral, accused of being immoral. Isn't that interesting? You're immoral if you stand for the rights of an unborn child. That's immoral. We hear that nowadays. It's immoral to take the right of a woman to choose from her. That's not what it's about, is it? It's about protecting life. It's about that's moral. Men worship at the altar of immorality. And we've already mentioned that men worship at the altar of man's intellect and wisdom and ability. You and I worship at the altar of God's grace. It's God's grace that has permitted all of these achievements. And we should give Him the praise for it. Well, along these days, I'm praying that we get the message. As we look at this matter of praise. Praise of our God should mark our lives. Should be the testimony of our life. When people watch us, they ought to see people of praise. If anything, they ought to say, brother so-and-so, sister such-and-such, they love God. Huh? Whether the person saying it is saved or lost, it shouldn't be the conclusion they come to as they watch us. They love the Lord. They love God. Whether they agree with us or not, they should come to the conclusion. What's 1 Corinthians 10 verse 31 say? We've looked at it over and over. Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Amen. Do it all to the glory of God. Can we praise God today? Hopefully. Can we praise God? By the way, we asked the question at the beginning. When is it inappropriate to praise the Lord? It's never. We ought to be able and prepared and ready to praise God anywhere at any time. When is God not doing for me? When is He not on the job for you and I? We ought to be able to praise Him at all times and in any place. It is always appropriate to give God praise. Let's stand together. Father, as we bow before you tonight, sure thankful for this. Your psalm book speaks so much to us, teaches us so much about this matter of praise. Lord, I pray that you'd help us. Lord, release, give us that liberty. Liberty of heart, liberty of soul, liberty of mind, liberty of lip. Be a people of praise. Might your praise be continually on our lips. And as we've said over and over this evening, Lord, I pray you'd help us to have a testimony of praise. Our lives would be lives of praise. And indeed, as we walk in this world would be convinced that we love you and we're grateful for your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Brother John.
Page 268.
268, as we sing, folks, let the Lord settle His word in our hearts tonight.
I will sing of my Redeemer and His wondrous love to me. On the cruel cross He suffered, from the curse to set me free. Sing, oh sing of my Redeemer. With His blood He purchased me. On the cross He sealed my pardon, paid the debt, and made me free. I will tell the wondrous story, how my lost estate to save. In his boundless love and mercy, he the ransom freely gave. Sing, oh sing of my Redeemer, with his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon, paid the debt, and made me free.
Amen. We mentioned several prayer requests earlier. I'd also add to that, please pray for Beth Vaught. The surgeon is supposed to look at her sight again on Tuesday, and he has warned her that if he doesn't like what he sees, he may scrape that out again. And if that's the need, then so be it. But I'm praying that when he looks at it Tuesday, he's gonna give the affirmation that it is healing and doing well. Miss Beth, how long has she been in the hospital? About 3 weeks. Adam, are you awake? Your mom's been in the hospital now about 3 weeks, hasn't she? I think it's going into the fourth week. So please pray for Beth and of course Sister Mary and these families that have lost loved ones this week. Please pray for our brothers and sisters. We've got so much to thank God for. So much, Lord. It's being there at the hospital room with the Carl family, Mary's daughter, of course, Danette, and the boys. It's good to know your mama loves God.
Amen.
Hmm? She loves the Lord. And they want God's best for her. They don't want her suffering and lingering. They want their mama back, for sure. But they know if she leaves that hospital by way of glory, she's not losing a thing.
Amen.
Nothing but gain in that. So please, please pray for these ones. We're grateful for God's mercy to us. Amen? Amen. 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 Brother John, come.
Well, if you would, get your hymn book out and turn to page 37. We're going to change our chorus up and sing doxology. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Sing with me. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. You're dismissed.